Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and it is Tuesday night, so we are talking about getting healed. Hopefully you're getting the idea about our approach to getting healed is not focusing on an individual wound or an individual need. Instead, we're looking at much more than that from the perspective of the learning experience itself. That doesn't mean we're not interested in getting those wounds healed. We want you to learn how to get healed so you can get healed. But the goal is not to get healed and then just leave that on the floor and move on to the next thing. Instead, learning to get healed is part of your tools that you're going to need going forward, not only in this lifetime, but likely in whatever God has in the next age or the next realm or whatever comes after this life on this earth. So there's the two perspectives on healing: the specific wounds that each one of us needs to have healing for, not only because they cause us pain, but because those wounds interfere with God's free flowing in and through our lives. So we know God wants those wounds healed, but He uses them as a way to teach us how to get healed. So He's teaching us the process by revealing our need. So we want to, in a sense, value our wounds and value those areas where we're feeling pain, because it's where we're hurting that God is going to teach us and reveal Himself the most. So as we are going through the process, we want to keep in mind to value the process and not just focus on the activities. In a sense, this will make us much more objective about our wounds. And by doing that, it may take away some of the emotional pain, whether it's past, present, or future related, but also it will set us free to live in the moment, to start to redeem the time and value our time now. Because we see that one of the things we will learn is that because we are embracing this experience as part of our learning, as a learning opportunity, we are no longer vulnerable to the enemy, any of our enemies in this area. So we recognize that we are seeing these things from God's perspective, from the Spirit perspective, which takes out so much of the questioning and the controversy. That frees us and also frees anyone who might be involved in that. And at one point in time, we will deeply get into the whole concept of forgiveness. But for right now, I just want you to remember that when we forgive, it's not because we know the right meaning of the word, of the term, or somebody asked for forgiveness or that they deserved it, or for any other reason. But that we forgive because we are a forgiving people. It is now part of your nature as a spirit being to forgive. Forgiveness has nothing to do with anyone else but you. Now we'll talk, and when we get into this, we will talk about the difference between justice and forgiveness. And those are two totally different things. And just because you forgive someone doesn't mean that they aren't going to be given the opportunity to experience justice. So those are two separate things. But forgiveness is part of your character. It's not something you choose to do. It's something you are. We'll get into that a little later. Right now, what we've been talking about is examples of wounds. Last Tuesday, we were talking about how wounds manifest in our minds as often as our inability to concentrate. Bad dreams sometimes, and recurring uncontrollable thoughts. In our will, wounds often manifest as the need to control everything, or the refusal or inability to make decisions at all. In our emotions, wounds are manifested through the need for stuffing emotions. We have to do that. We have to not feel, denying that they exist, or by not shepherding them at all and letting them have free rein in our lives. So these manifest differently for each of us. And one of the things we'll want to learn how to do is to be able to identify a wound by our emotional, behavioral, or thought reaction to a situation. We want to be able to learn how to identify wounds even as they occur, so we can get them healed quickly. Our goal, again, is to learn how to go to God to get healed. Some manifestations of wounds are rejection, anger, bitterness, and misconceptions, or believing lies. We've talked many times about how none of us thinks that we're believing lies. And yet, even if it's just by omission, none of us has all the truth. So some of what any of us believes is missing information. And so none of us has a corner on the truth. So we can all learn something. We're all in the process of learning. The most common wound is rejection, whether it's real or just perceived, because it is one of the results of our attempts to control our environment, to control others, ourselves, and even God. Because we are living among people who are trying to get their needs met on their terms, we will be rejected. Okay? Let me repeat that. We're going to be rejected in this world because we're imperfect in our soul and our body, but also because others in this world are imperfect in their soul and their body. We like to think that if someone's a Christian, they will never do anything to hurt us. And so then when they do, inevitably, do something, say something, behave in a way that hurts us, we reject them. And we feel rejected because we're disappointed. So we want to adjust our expectations and understand that until they've been perfected, or we've been perfected, or someone's been perfected, we are all going to be rejected. There's two kinds of people in this world, those that have been rejected and those that have been rejected more. Our goal is not to avoid rejection, is to learn how to go to God for comfort, for acceptance, for the truth. Those that are rejected and those that are rejected more look at their life through those terms, through those glasses. So we want to settle it that we are not going to be evaluating or judging how we're doing by how much or how little we are being rejected. In other words, beware when everyone says you're doing a great job. Also, beware when everyone's rejecting you. One of the things we're always going to be looking at is don't be looking for a formula or an approach. Okay, this is how you will know if you're doing good if everybody rejects you. That's just not true. Don't be thinking you're doing good when everyone accepts you. That's not true. How do we know then how we're doing? It's not a balance of the two. It's we go to the Father. We go to God. And we ask Him, and He tells us. So we're not going to be evaluating the presence of a wound based on our being rejected. And we've already talked about the difference between a wound and an unhealed wound. That since we will always be rejected in this world, we will always be wounded. It's not that it's going to be one constant wound, but that it is not going to be a reflection on our closeness to God, our ability to receive Him. We can be in His absolute perfect, exactly where He wants us to be, in full communion with Him, spirit, soul, and body, and be rejected. And we know this because of His Son. Now I was just thinking about this today. We look at the rejection Jesus suffered, and we think of all the terrible things that was done to Him, and how He suffered great things on our behalf. And yet, it was His greatest triumph to go through that, because the greatest temptation He had was to stop it. He could have stopped what was happening, the events that were happening to Him, at any time. When they were beating Him, when they were dragging Him off to the cross, when He was being crucified, when He was hanging on the cross, He could have stopped that with just a thought, and yet He didn't. To me, that speaks the most of the confidence He had in His Father. But then I was also thinking about what was going on while He was in the grave. He was in the grave, let's, you know, just say, okay, 3 days. And we'll say 72 hours. And we have the idea that He went and ministered to those that had gone on before in whatever way, shape, or form they were abiding at that time. But what we want to look at is if time was existent there, but that we're not sure about that. But we do know that He was doing what He was supposed to be doing while He was in there. And from that, we know that He had a mind, He had a will, and He had emotions. And He could have stopped it at any time. Did Jesus raise Himself from the grave? No, the Father raised Him. The Father raised Him from the grave. The Father gave him back his life and back his eternal life. He remade him as that spirit being again. And the Son, all he could do was wait. He could have raised himself at any time. So we look at the patience and the perseverance and the confidence and the strength it took in him to wait for the timing of his Father, to raise him from hell, to raise him from that separation. And that separation was complete. I'm not sure he could say, okay, in 42 minutes, my Father's going to raise me. It could have felt like 42 years, 7,200 years. But he had the strength of from knowing his Father to not do anything out of his own strength, out of his own mind, out of his own will, out of his own emotions, out of his own soul. Instead, he waited for his Father to move on his behalf, and he did. That shows us that when we deal with rejection, we need to accept that when we ask God about it, what he tells us is the truth, and we are to behave accordingly and believe accordingly. Because we behave according to what we believe, eventually our actions will also line up and reinforce these wounds and cause circumstances that will motivate us to run to the Father to get healed. In other words, the more often, just as Jesus was the example of this, he had to learn how to go to the Father to get healed. And through that, he learned how to trust him. He learned how to know his Father. He gained confidence that God, that his Father was revealing himself to him. This is why our wounds and this process can be so valuable to us. Because it's through the process that we gain the confidence. And when we believe, our behavior follows. And we are able to not have that fake faith, that fake boldness, but we will find ourselves behaving boldly because we can't not do it. That boldness cannot be held back, or the silence cannot be held back. Whatever God asks for in any given situation is fully available because we are relying and depending on our spirit being and not out of our own strength or fear of rejection, or we are no longer under sway of our mind, our will, and our emotions. So we are going to be rejected by others, whether they intend to or not. Remember, this is not about them. You cannot prevent others from rejecting you. And being afraid of rejection is being wounded. Since you give other people power over you by letting them control your actions through your fear of rejection. This is the same type of thing that's going on right now so much about being offended. Oh, you can't offend anybody. Oh, and don't offend me. Well, when you give somebody that power over you to offend you, you are giving them the right to be God in your life. Nobody ever said you had a right to not be offended. Offenses will come. And what is an offense? You know, is somebody disagreeing with you? Is somebody hurting your feelings? What do we do with offenses? We take them to God. God, what, you know, why does this hurt? Why does this bother me so much? But it's not about the other person. And in some circumstances, some situations, we're going to have to learn how to offend. Who was the biggest offense on this earth? Jesus Christ himself. He offended the Romans. He offended the Jews. Everything he did was an offense because it revealed, it exposed their lies. His very presence, his purity, his holiness was an offense, was a stumbling block to their self-righteousness. His humility was a direct offense to their arrogance and their confidence in their own accomplishments, their own abilities. So there will be times when we will offend others. So though we don't like to rock the boat, if the boat's not rocking, you know, we aren't going to intentionally rock it. But if God's rocking it, don't try to stop it. Because there's times when God offends. And he may use you to do it. There are times when God rejects. And there may be times when he uses you to do it. So we are looking, instead of being sort of putting rejection on a pedestal and being, you know, offending others, that's no more special than any other aspect of our relationship with ourselves, with God, or with others. So we want to sort of bring that down to a level playing field with, and not treat it any special, particularly more dangerous or powerful than any other aspect of our relationships. In other words, don't worry about it. Be focused on God, what he says to do, that you shall do. You're going to get wounded. Accept that. Learn how to go to God to get healed, and then go on to the next thing. So let me just reinforce that we are going to be wounded by others, whether they intend to wound us or not. That this is not about them. You cannot prevent others from rejecting you. And being afraid of rejection is being wounded. Since you give other people power over you, you let them take God's position in your life by letting them control your actions through your fear of rejection. Oh, I don't want to say anything that they might be offended by, so I'm not going to say anything at all. Gosh, they've controlled you and they didn't even have to say a thing. We're going to have to learn how to be so focused on God that we don't even notice what we're doing, what we're saying, what we're thinking, what we're feeling. That when God says, pass the salt, we pass the salt. When he says, raise the dead, we raise the dead. Because our eyes and our ears are so focused on God that what we are doing is of little consequence, is taking very little of our attention. Now, there will be times when he calls us to focus more precisely on things. And so this is never a, you know, it's not a one-size-fits-all type of relationship with God. But we recognize that what we often value is not at all what God values. So to not be an offense to others as a blanket statement is not God's approach at all. He is definitely offensive to others. Holiness is an offense to sin. And God made it that way, and the presence of good provokes evil. And that's, regardless, that has nothing to do with God. That's just the way, the law of opposites here on this earth. We are also rejected by ourselves, by what we believe, by what we think, even by how we take care of ourselves. As we begin to learn the truth about who we are and what God thinks about us, we will all come up against the wound of self-rejection. Now, self-rejection is most often used to control how close we let others get to us. And also, we use self-rejection to control how close we let God get to us, and how much control we give him over our lives. The lie goes something like this. If we reject ourselves first, we can beat God to the punch, and then he won't have to do it. So we judge ourselves according to our own judgment, to our own expectations. And that way we don't have to go to God, because we've already done his job for him. So we reject ourselves in our own eyes, thinking it's a reflection of what he thinks of us. This is another area we're going to have to learn how to identify these wounds. A lot of that will be in our thought life, capturing our thoughts, listening to them, asking God, is that true? And letting him replace those lies with the truth. Our temperament may also make us more vulnerable to rejection. Since some of us have aspects of our temperaments that are more valued by society, it also stands to reason that some of us have aspects of our temperaments that are less valued by this society. Unless we can honestly, objectively evaluate our temperament and discover that God does not value one person's temperament more or less than another's temperament, we are vulnerable to rejection at our deepest soulical level, the very basis of who we are as a soulical being. Now, again, this is why it's so critical that we learn that we are a spirit being, and that's our true nature, our true identity. Because as long as we believe that we are a soulical being by identity, by nature, we will never meet our own standards. We will always fail. So temperamental vulnerability does not need to be healed, since the temperament God gave you is the one he wants you to have. It ain't broke, so he ain't going to fix it. But he wants us to learn how to manage our temperament. So we'll pick it up there next Tuesday. Thanks so much for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great evening.